We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
I looked around my corner office and it was time to move on and do something else. And I wasn't sure what that was going to be. I really didn't know, but I love building things and I'm a mission-minded person. And so whatever I was going to do was going to have a mission that appealed to me.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Retail today is constantly being reinvented, and fascinating partnerships are continuing to transform the industry. IKEA's acquisition of TaskRabbit, the freelance labor mobile marketplace, is one great example, and we're very lucky to have TaskRabbit CEO Stacy Brown Philpott here to chat about the new retail landscape and partnerships that create customer value. Stacy was just recently honored as an influencer on the list of people shaping retail's future at the National Retail Federation Foundation's Gala in New York City. Today, my co-host, my colleague, my friend, Sarah Rand. Welcome, Sarah.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm always great.
Why are you great today?
I'm greater today.
Why are you greater today?
Well, we are here with Stacy, and last night I had the ability to go to the NRF Foundation Gala, and so I'm extra excited to have a conversation with her. I'm very inspired.
Well, congratulations on that, Stacy.
Thank you.
That was really fantastic. It's quite an honor. What a lineup.
Wow. Yes. Lots of people that I didn't know and some friends too.
Yeah.
And very exciting.
And people that I think you'll probably be staying in touch with. And we're very excited to meet you as well.
Happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit first about Stacy Brown Philpott. How did you get to where you are today?
Wow. Lots of people who cared about me, lots of motivation and drive, and lots of love. I think those are the three things that were really in there. But I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Where it's probably colder than it is today in New York.
I don't know. Ooh. Is that possible?
I think so.
I don't want to picture that.
Going outside neither. And your face hurts cold. That's cold.
This is the problem. People always, you know, they always complain about, it's too hot in the South. And I grew up in the South. And they said, it's hot and humid. I'm like, hot and humid is uncomfortable. Cold is painful. And if it's, I'm adverse to pain. So I prefer.
Self-preservation.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry.
We had community. So even through all the cold, there was community. But growing up in Detroit, you know, taught me a lot about family values and community. And, you know, my mom was a single mom who didn't have a whole lot, but she sacrificed a lot to take care of me and my brother. And that's what kind of helped us focus on something that we could control. We didn't have a lot of resources, but we had our brains. And so she cared about education. And so she really helped us invest in our education. And that's what I did. And so that took me to Penn for college, undergrad. And that was a life-changing experience in many ways. One, I went to this Ivy League school that I didn't know was an Ivy League school where the tuition was the same as my mother's annual salary. Mm. So I had to find scholarships and grants to fund my way. But it really transformed my life into a new world of how I could grow as a person. I met my husband there. So I will always forever love him.
So it was worth every penny.
Worth every single penny that came along with it. But I also learned how to find my way. And so after getting a degree in accounting and finance, I went to work in public accounting and became a CPA. And then I went to work in investment banking on Wall Street at Goldman Sachs and worked in finance. And then I took myself all the way over to the Bay Area to go to Stanford for business school.
Oh, great.
So after a career in finance, I was ready to do something different. And I was excited about tech, having worked on Wall Street in 1999 and watching all that growth happen. And then the plummet that happened afterwards was just fascinating to see how people were building these businesses. And so I got to Silicon Valley through Stanford and spent 2 years just exploring what could be, and ended up joining Google.
Oh, wow.
Which was 1,000 people when I joined. And so it was this pre-IPO tech company.
Just a tiny little company.
A tiny little company that everybody
with a weird name
is like, it seems great. I met 13 great people on the interview, including Sheryl Sandberg is my last person to interview me. And I said, Mom, I got this job at Google. And she's like, you know what? if it doesn't work out, you could always go back to accounting because everybody knew PwC. No one really knew what Google was. But the amazing people that I interview with really helped me make that decision to go. And I said, okay, if this company goes public, that's going to be awesome. And then we'll see what happens after that. Well, 9 years later, I was still there. And after spending 9 years kind of growing as a leader, working in finance and then operations and then running India, going and living in India and Hyderabad for a while, having some great mentors, including Cheryl and many others, helped me become a leader of thousands of people. I looked around my corner office and it was time to move on and do something else. And I wasn't sure what that was going to be. I really didn't know, but I love building things and I'm a mission-minded person. And so whatever I was going to do was going to have a mission that appealed to me. And I had met the founder of TaskRabbit, Leah Buskey, a year and a half before when my first daughter was born. And I used the service and I just thought, this is amazing. You can send somebody to do something for you. She went to Target shopping for me and brought it back because I was afraid to leave the house as a new mom. When you're a first-time mom, sometimes you're afraid to kind of leave. You're not sure you can go out there with the baby. But you can. And I didn't know that. And so there was TaskRabbit. So I decided to join TaskRabbit as a COO. Our mission is to make everyday life easier for everyday people. And that really appealed to me. That's really did. And so I can talk more about the TaskRabbit mission and what we're doing. But it really has been a journey of lots of joy and fun and love.
That's fantastic.
With each of those moments where you really pivoted, when you went from the East Coast to the West Coast, when you went to India, you know, you're making decisions. You're sitting in your corner office and you say, okay, it's time to do something different.
Yeah.
What is that moment like? I think there's so many people out there that think, I do want to do something different. Does it take a leap of faith? Does it take exceptional bravery? Does it take, what is that moment?
It takes all of those things. It takes some courage.
Yep.
And it takes sort of seeing moments as those, as moments. So for me, my courage and my grit definitely comes from my upbringing. I was taught to never be afraid of anything. And if I was afraid of something, I had to get over that fear early on in my life to get through life. And so nothing ever really scares me that much because if it doesn't work out, it's probably not going to be worse than what I've had before. And it may actually be great. But it also takes seeing moments of serendipity. Meaning one of my bosses at Google, he said to me, he's like, Stacey, you know, you're a planner. And I said, I like plan everything because you never know what's going to happen. He's like, well, sometimes there's moments where you just don't know and you have to take that leap of faith. And he really encouraged me to do that. And he was the one who encouraged me to take that leap of faith to go and work in operations, which took me to India, which changed the trajectory of my career. And so as I was sitting in that corner office, okay, I think it's time for another one of those leaps of faith to go to TaskRabbit.
It's amazing how many people are risk averse. And then you hear stories like Stacy's and you realize you've got to be ready to take risk. I mean, it's scary and you can be a planner, but gosh darn it, you know, sometimes you've just got to close your eyes, take a deep breath and go forward. That's fantastic. Great story. So tell me about the recent partnership that you've all created with IKEA.
So IKEA is an amazing company, world's largest furniture retailer. And, you know, TaskRabbit had built a business that is making everyday life easier for everyday people. And that's our mission. Their vision is to create a better everyday life for the many people. We wrote ours 10 years ago. They wrote theirs 75 years ago. We did not do this at the same time. They're in Sweden. We were in the United States.
Right.
But the alignment in values and culture was so there. It was so obvious that it made sense for us to partner. So we actually started with one partnership in London, in one store, where we were offering TaskRabbit assembly services to IKEA customers, and it was successful.
Of course it was successful. My Lord, have you ever put a bookcase together? I mean, is something that simple?
30 pages of instructions and pictures.
I'm very challenged.
You need TaskRabbit.
but the problem is when you get done and there's those six screws.
Yes.
You're like, maybe they're just extras.
Not extras. They say a picture is worth a thousand words, and it is. And so our taskers can see all 1,000 words, and maybe many of us only see like 200 of the 1,000 words that are really in that picture. But that was a really successful partnership. And so as we started to build relationship with each other, we felt like there was more to do, and we started to launch the next store and the next store. And then it made sense to just for them to just acquire the company. And so in October of 2017, we announced the transaction that IKEA was going to buy the company and really help me expand my vision to bring TaskRabbit everywhere, in every city, every store, for everyone in the world. And here is this great partner that we can work with on our global expansion.
You know, you talked earlier about values and culture and how that was shared. What is the culture at TaskRabbit?
Yeah, our culture is really based on caring deeply for people. And, you know, when you think about what we're building a network, a task management network that is help for life for you. You're trusting us to come into your home to do something that's really important that you probably don't know how to do or don't have time to do. And you're trusting somebody to come in that you don't necessarily know. So you're trusting our platform to find the right person for you who's really good at the job. So it's all built on trust and relationships. So this task management network is your go-to team, which is like your power group, your network for life. And so our values have to breathe that. They have to live that. So everybody in the company tasks. Our core value, we have four values in the company, and our top value is caring deeply. Caring deeply about each other when we work together. Caring deeply about our taskers who are providing the services. We want to make sure they are earning a meaningful income. Caring deeply for our clients who are getting the services, knowing they don't always know exactly what it needs to be done. So we can help them bridge that gap between what I need and what I have. And just caring deeply about the communities that we're in. We have TaskRabbit for Good, because it's not just about getting services done in your home, but it's about the communities that we operate in. So how do we help other nonprofits be successful in those communities? So really around caring deeply.
That's fantastic.
Does that quality help with expanding globally? I was going to ask you about the challenges of taking this platform and this idea all over the world, but caring deeply is a universal value. That translates everywhere, right? Does that help, or were there other challenges?
Yeah, it absolutely helps. I mean, it certainly helps us think what's in our core, but our second value is leveling up. And that's really about ambiguity. There's a lot of ambiguity when you go out to do a task. My last task, I went in, I was putting together IKEA furniture, and I didn't know what was going to be there. The guy was late. He had to pick his daughter up from preschool. All the stuff is like in the middle of the floor. There's so much ambiguity in going out to task. But there's also ambiguity in like launching a new country and launching a new market. Is it going to work? What's going to be different? So when we launched Canada, we did a lot of research. We learned what was important in Toronto, in Greater Toronto, not just the entire country, but in the city where we were going. What's important for each of these markets so that we could personalize the service and localize the service. And that's a part of caring deeply too.
Did you say you and your team are tasking, and I assume that meant you were users. You're building furniture for other people?
Oh, we both. We
you do
use
both.
And we task. Yes, we use both sides.
At the highest level, you go out there and do a task. I love that. It really keeps you core to the mission, I'm sure.
It keeps us proximate. I mean, it's important for us to stay close to the customer. And the customer's not just the person getting the service done. It's also the taskers that we have 140,000 taskers in our community.
What are some of the most unusual tasks that you've done or you know of?
That I've done. So IKEA Furniture Assembly is not unusual. So some people might think that's unusual because you don't know how to do it.
I don't.
You don't.
Just admit it. I don't. I'm so glad you're there. I may actually start going back to IKEA.
There you go. You can sign up right in the store, and it's going to be great. But lots of people in New York wait in line for tickets for things. Certainly that's a very common thing. Or brunch at different places. We had a woman in San Francisco who couldn't be at her best friend's birthday party in LA. And so she hired a tasker in LA to impersonate her and show her the party and be her. And
so
that was
touching.
Really, and it's LA. So of course that works so well, right?
That's phenomenal.
Wow.
What a great story.
Can I task someone to go to work for me tomorrow?
You can try.
Bill,
no.
Is that cool?
Well, why wouldn't you want to come to work? We have such a good time. maybe the Tasker would be really good. Wouldn't you be concerned about that?
Okay, fine. I'll be there. I'll be there.
And then there's two of you. He would love that.
Now that would be fantastic. So where you are today, where are you tomorrow? I mean, how does this grow?
Yeah, so we're recreating the hometown circle for the next generation, which is that circle of trusted people to do things for you, community by community at a time. And so today we're in the US, UK, Canada, over 50 markets across those three countries. Tomorrow, more countries and more partnerships. The beauty of this partnership with IKEA is that we can do other partnerships. We operate the company independently. We just did a partnership with Rover, where now you can get help walking your pet through TaskRabbit and Rover, which is very exciting. And we expect more partnerships to come along with that. So we're looking forward to more partnerships and more markets and more countries for TaskRabbit.
How do you find the Taskers? Is that the right term?
Yes.
How do you find the Taskers?
So our Taskers, you on average earn $35 an hour in the US, which is 5 times the federal minimum wage. So most people find us. Most Taskers find us. It is a very lucrative way to earn money, and it's flexible. You can set your own hours, you can set your availability, you can set your schedule, you can work when you want, and you have a skill to do. So we don't actually have a problem finding Taskers. They usually find out about us. But there are some times of the year, and certainly times of the month, especially during moving season in New York, it's high, high, high demand. So we go out and recruit and we do advertising just like everybody else.
And you test them to see if they can build IKEA furniture?
They go through a very rigorous vetting process. Okay. That includes background checks and everything to make sure they're safe to work. And then if they sign up for IKEA furniture, we provide them a lot of information on how to do IKEA furniture assemblies. And we've gotten good. We know exactly how long it takes to assemble most of those items. And so the beauty of that is
forever.
Once you go shopping... Yes, forever for some,
you,
or 36 minutes for others. Yeah.
That's a miracle.
But we can set the price, so we fix the price, and so you know exactly how much it's going to cost.
Yeah,
when you go and buy a furniture assembly and scrap it from an IKEA store.
Stacey, I could talk about this for hours, but we're running short on time, which is really kind of a bummer. I wish we could go on and on, but maybe we can get you back in sometime.
I hope so.
I hope so as well. So there's a part of our program that you may know about or you may not know about.
Okay.
And it's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So in this segment, what we're going to do is we're just going to ask you a few questions. They're not hard questions.
Okay.
And what you need to do is tell us the first thing that comes to mind, which means don't think about it.
Okay.
Just say it.
Okay.
Right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Sarah, start us off.
Best place you've traveled?
Australia.
Best vacation?
Safari in South Africa.
Favorite comfort food?
Fried chicken.
The one thing always in your refrigerator?
Homemade ice cream.
Ooh, nice.
Homemade?
My husband makes homemade ice cream.
Does he really?
It's yummy.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Penn was a good place for you.
Yes.
The degree, secondary.
Only degree two. And ice cream.
Yeah.
And then the husband.
Right. Mm.
What's always in your suitcase?
My sleep socks.
What is the one app that you cannot live without?
Slack.
Would you rather have a year without weekends or a year without your cell phone?
Cell phone.
I'm with you 110,000%. So last question. What is the last magazine that you read? Printed magazine.
Us Weekly.
Very good.
Nice.
Stacey, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. Now, if people want to learn more about TaskRabbit, where do they go?
TaskRabbit.com or go to iOS or Android and download our app.
Great. Stacey, again, thanks for being with us. It's been incredibly fascinating. You're a great guest, and we hope that we get you back sometime.
Thank you.
And Sarah, I hope to get you back sometime
co-host.
I was going to say next time I ask you to co-host, I may find somebody that you've tasked for the job.
You won't even know the difference.
Yeah. Well, we're going to post more information about this show and the topics we discussed on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks, everyone out there, for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. And please tell your colleagues, your friends, your family, whomever, about the program. And at the very least, give us a rating on your podcast app. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.